It is the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk. Great stuff as always. Jay Layman. Bringing the energy, the smelling salts, all of that.
A lot of times I can somewhat match his energy. Not even close today. Not even close. He was just 100 miles an hour.
He was good.
I'm more like Luke Altmaier today because Luke's always like really calm and, you know, he kind of comes in with that really balanced. He's not like Jay. They're just like, bah! So
let's get to Luke Altmaier on the Tapman's Towing phone line. This segment brought to you by Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguide.com. Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it. First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend. And Carpenters Local 243. Luke Altmaier, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
What's that like to be on the sideline now watching the game progress and understanding that you know the playbook as well as anybody? Are you following along as that goes and making sure that John's seeing the reads like he should, et cetera? Like, what that just seems like, you know, all of a sudden you step back and it's like, wait a minute, I know where every play is supposed to be going. What is that like to do that?
Yeah, it's definitely a crazy perspective, definitely being on the sideline after playing, you know, a lot of games and kind of getting into that flow and having to be out and, you know, kind of watching the sideline from a different perspective and, you know, a perspective of like I'm in the game and, you know, seeing defenses and understanding where we can threaten those guys. And, the previous 10 games or so, you know, John and Donovan and so many people have helped me with what they have seen on the sideline. And so it was cool for me to kind of have that role and obviously want to play, you know, but it was cool for me to, you know, maximize my role as best I could from where I was at.
When you mention that, like Donovan and John and those guys helping you, when that is the case, or even this past Saturday with you, are you going through Barry Lunny to that, or are you going straight to the quarterback, like with John, and saying, hey, here's what I'm seeing? Or do you kind of go through Barry and say, hey, I assume you're seeing the same thing, but this is what I saw on this?
Yeah, so, you know, kind of when offense on the sideline, we all sit sort of all together. Coach Lunny comes and, you know, kind of debriefs the last, last series or so and kind of talks through what we're going to do, what we're not going to do. And I think all of us in the room, all of us players, all of us quarterbacks in the room do such a good job of communicating, not amongst just the quarterbacks, but with, you know, Coach Lunny as well, what we're seeing. And that's one thing that I admire so much about Coach Lunny is, you know, he listens to his players a whole lot. He listens to, you know, what we're seeing and, you know, where we think we can attack them. And, you know, he really takes it into consideration. And obviously he has a great mind. And that's one thing that's been so cool to see this season is the way he, you know, is so open to listening to us and having an open mind of what we're seeing on the field and, you know, from the sideline, what players are seeing. And he's just always willing to try to maximize, you know, different opportunities, however people are seeing it. And it's been really cool to watch that unfold.
Luke, another late game thriller, 48-45 in overtime. John Paddock throws for 500 yards. What was it like to watch him do that? And what, from your vantage point, have you seen out of him when he's been under center and slinging around the yard?
Yeah, it was crazy, obviously. I mean, you know, him setting the record there at Memorial Stadium, so excited for him and, you know, his journey, you know, watching or just having his, obviously, we know his history, his lineage there at the University of Illinois. And I'm sure, and, you know, he's talked about how he's growing up, going to games, watching Juice Williams growing up and how he's always wanted to be in that position. And for him to, you know, fulfill that role last Saturday and even in the Minnesota game, it's been, I mean, you're just everybody on the sideline and in the stands, you know, I imagine they're just really, really happy for him to watch him, you know, live out his dreams and and doing it at such a high level. So, you know, to watch the game, watch him, you know, do his thing and to watch, you know, kind of the fruits of all of his hard work throughout the off season and summer and fall camp and throughout practice throughout the season, was really cool to see. It really was. And it was so exciting for the team too, just to get that win overall. So many guys played well for us, and you know, it's a definitely a confidence builder for the offensive side of the ball.
Luke, if you could take me back through the week last week in terms of the lead up, did you At what point did you know that you weren't going to be playing in that game? Of course, you've been the starter all season long. So was there a certain day that you knew that was clear? And just kind of how did that go through to where John gets the nod and he's starting in Saturday's game against Indiana?
Yeah, it was certainly a tricky process, tricky week. And, you know, trying to understand that concussion protocol was definitely tricky. Trying to navigate that, and because you feel good enough to play Friday or Thursday, but the protocol is so rigid and structured to where it's all about safety. So throughout the week, wasn't able to practice Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, and so we thought Coach B and the concussion protocol and our training staff thought it was the safest thing to do was to, not risk getting two in a row.
Sure.
And, that made a lot of sense to me. And, John had practiced great all week. And we felt good about, I know the coaching staff and us players felt good about where he was at and in the game plan and his confidence level. So decided that it was best and safest to not suit up that Saturday, so I wouldn't get two in a row. If had been the case, that'd have been, a nightmare. So, let John do his thing, and we all know how that went.
Luke, as for right now, how are you feeling, and what's left if there are any hurdles remaining in terms of you getting back on the field?
Yeah, I feel good. So, after the game Sunday, I was able to do a little workout with a few receivers to kind of knock rust off, maybe you could say, but to get back in the swing of things, move around, get my heart rate up, and see how I felt, and I felt really good. So looking forward to getting back into practice this week, starting Tuesday, starting tomorrow, really getting back in the flow of things, and excited to do that, obviously, and just to keep growing and getting better.
Luke Altmyer, Tapman's Towing phone line. After throwing for 500-plus yards, I mean, Luke, you look at that, and again, it's the elephant in the room, right? We're visiting with the guy that started most of the games. Obviously, by injury, John comes in. He does his thing at Minnesota, and then he goes for 500-some yards, which was incredible Saturday. What's going to go into this week in determining who the starting quarterback is? Because obviously, Luke, you've done one hell of a job. Jay Lehman's called you the best quarterback in the Big Ten West. Then you got John who comes in and does this amazing thing and kind of carries on a lineage. And now you're going to play a team in Iowa that obviously has one of the better defenses in the country. So, I mean, I guess it just boils down to competition again, doesn't it, this week? And it's hard for me. Like, I hated getting beat out by anybody, and I'm not saying you're going to be or John's going to be beat out, but it's like, it's your teammate, right? And you have to support it and go for wins. So how's that going to play out this week?
Yeah, so, I mean, I hate talking about myself, but, I feel like it's just a good problem to have. You would say having, two guys who have, played and I've played the majority of the season, obviously, and have gotten a lot of experience from my first year and have had my confidence grow throughout the games. And having John play really, this last game, obviously, and doing well and at the end there in Minnesota, you kind of have two guys who can affect the game and, in different ways and in positive ways. So, I know the coaching staff will handle things the way they envision, us having success throughout the week. And, John has played exceptionally well, honestly, probably, some of the best football in the country. So, that's hard to, argue with, it's really inevitable for him to take him off the field in ways that, I could see. But, I'm going to do whatever I can to, control what I can control. And, doing my best in Tuesday practice and watching film on these guys. Obviously, we know how, great Iowa is on defense. I don't think letting up more than one touchdown throughout the last four games. So it'll be a challenge, I know for whoever's out there.
Sure.
So, it'll be a team effort, obviously, and it's always about putting the team first.
That's a great answer, Luke. Isn't it amazing how this running back room all season has been banged up, but there's always a guy there to answer the bell? And Cayden Fagan took that role for a little bit. Then he gets a little banged up, and boom, Reggie Love. I was telling Jay and Derek looked like he was getting shot out of a cannon. I mean, that kid's speed Saturday looked like he hadn't, you know, done anything for about 2 months, and he's like, all right, I'm ready to be the fastest dude out here. It's amazing how that room has done that. How, I guess, is that difficult for a quarterback or for the flow of the offense to just, like, who's up this week, you know? Or is it pretty simple in the sense that Barry calls the play and you make sure you get it to him and you go?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously been one of those years where, you know, it's been hard to get healthy at that position. And, you know, I hate it for those guys because, you know, it's kind of been every one of them, you know, throughout the week and throughout the weeks in some shape or form. You know, Aiden and, you know, Josh McCray and, I mean, Caden and Reggie just kind of fluctuating there. Who's going to be healthy and who's not? And that's obviously a hurdle and an obstacle to overcome for our offense because, you know, we rely so much on our run game to open up the pass game and just to be successful in general. So, but we're confident whoever's sure. back there, you know, I feel like throughout the week, whoever's been back there has been really successful. Obviously Reggie having a lot of success this past week. And, you know, that's no surprise to any of us. It was really cool to see him get out there again and, you know, to have that success and, you know, really be an MVP of our game. And obviously Caden has played well and been really that healthy guy that we've leaned on and I mean, it's been one of those years, I guess, but, you know, luckily we got one of those guys healthy and this week and Caden played a little bit and kind of got banged up there, but Reggie kind of carried us. So as long as we got one, I guess we'll be all right.
There you go.
A few more minutes here with Luke Altmyer on the Tapman's Towing phone line. To circle back to Iowa, as you've started to watch them on film, what do they do so well? What makes that defense so tough to go against?
Yeah, just a really in sync, a really tightly knit group. You know, they, you know, obviously it's my first year in the league, so I'm not familiar with what they do and their history. But, you know, I've always kind of had an idea that their defense and the way they play is really, really structured well. And, you know, they play hard and they play together. And, you know, I think that's what makes them so good is they all, those 11 guys, you know, because they don't make a lot of mistakes. They don't bust a lot of coverages. They play really sound and, they're obviously very talented players. They're big, strong, fast, physical, and they're going to make you march the ball down the field on them, and that's been very tough, obviously, for teams this year.
Sure.
We know that. You know, they do a great job in coverage and do a great job in the run game, but you know, we'll see where we can attack those guys and threaten them. Coach Lenny will do that the way he sees, and we'll do our best to execute it. And, you know, we got Illinois got a win last year on them 9-6. So, however we see we can attack them, we're going to do that, but they're obviously a great group.
Are you looking forward to going to Kinnick? My colleagues around this beat say that it's the best place to watch a game in the
awesome.
Big Ten. So, are you looking forward to getting your first experience over there?
Yeah, that's, you know, before the season, I was, you know, really looked at this one and was really excited for this road game and to experience the atmosphere and having the fourth quarter Children's Hospital wave. You know, that's a lot of cool things that go into playing at Iowa. So really looking forward to it. I know they'll have a great crowd and it'll be loud and it'll be one I'll remember. I know that for sure.
I know we kind of have this Luke versus Luke thing, right? Goody and Altmyer. So the cool thing that's going on is, like, there's a shot of the sidelines and Altmyer's sitting there with his cool glasses, like the sunglasses on. And I'm like, only the starting quarterback could pull that off. Like I want to see Goody on the bench, like just throw some shades on. I mean, you just look, come on, you've got more swag than him, don't you?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh boy, here we go.
I had my Oakleys on, so, you know, maybe he'll try to outdo me, throw some Ray-Bans on or something. I don't know, but I don't know. I was trying to, you know, block out that sun, and I don't know. You know what I mean?
It's going to be a fun one tomorrow night. He's got Marquette, right, fourth-ranked in the country. Are you guys able to – is your week just too busy to attend something like that or even watch something like that? Or are you able to free up a couple of hours to see, you know, like a game like that?
Yeah, so I was actually able to go with a couple of teammates to the opening night game against, I think, Eastern Illinois it was. And yeah, I was able to go to that one. And I'm planning on going to this next one coming up, too. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed, you know, I went to some of the games last year when I was first settling
in.
That's right. Yeah, and so, you know, I look forward to going to those games and being a part of the atmosphere and being a spectator, I guess, and watching those guys play and compete. And it'll be a good one here tomorrow against a good team, obviously Marquette, and looking forward to, you know, just seeing that game and being a spectator for sure.
Amen.
Luke, appreciate the time as always. Look forward to the game coming up this Saturday. Wish you the best as you fully recover off of the concussion, and we'll all anxiously await to see who gets the nod at starter and just the way the rest of the season plays out. Thankfully, based on your play, the team's play, you guys have made this a lot of fun here in recent weeks and a lot more to play for. So good luck to you, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Okay, buddy.
Luke Altmyer on the Tapman's Towing phone line. That brought to you again by Max Twin City Recycling, Carpenter's Local 243, Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguy.com. Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it. First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted. Dogtowning.
That's a new thing you do on Fridays.
Aaron Plumbing. I can't ever, I swear.
It happens.
I always botch a read. I swear I do. Dogtown Heating, Aaron Plumbing. Checks in the mail. Your home's best friend.
Jay says, does Luke get free tickets to basketball? If, come on, you're Luke Altmyer, man.
You would think that they could make that
work. I don't know. I don't know if the other athletes are able to. I would hope they would make it accessible to the athletes to be able to go watch the other athletes and such. But you do have a lot of people that paid, and
so you gotta,
you run out of room.
I'm guessing that's a sold-out game?
I would assume. Yeah, I know it is.
Yeah.
I know it is. So, yeah, I mean, you kind of run out of room, but, man, you got to make room for Luke. Let's go. He is a – that young man was raised right.
He's a good dude.
Just a good dude. There's no doubt about it. And I feel like this is me. I'm going to take it from my perspective. The way he answered that is he feels like John Paddock will be the starter on Saturday. That's the way I took from that. Did you?
I get some vibes of that.
I mean, at the end of the soundbite, it made it sound like, you know, you got to do what's best for the team.
Yeah, and I know he said that
and it's
he's
hard
played to, some of the best quarterbacks exactly. in the country, and I could understand if they wanted to continue to put him out there.
I mean, he also started the answer out correctly. It's a good problem to have.
Of course.
It's a great problem to have a kid in Luke Altmyer that's thrown for almost 2,000 yards this year, and then you got a kid in John Paddock that comes in and miraculously takes you on a drive to beat Minnesota, and then, oh, by the way, throws for the most yards in Memorial Stadium history. Only Dave Wilson at Ohio State, what, 1981, I think, who threw for like 584 or something. I mean, did you realize during the game as that was going on that Paddock had that many yards? I mean, was it clicking to you? Like, I knew he had a lot of yards, but I would have guessed something.
Right. So since I watched it from home. So I was watching on TV, and when they said that at halftime he had 320 yards.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was the most since Nathan Shielhouse. But I didn't know that anybody had ever thrown for 300-plus yards in the first half for the Illini.
Right.
Most since Shielhouse against SIU, I would imagine. I don't know this off the top of my head, but maybe the most by an Illini quarterback in the Big Ten in the first half. I'd be curious to know if there was one that topped that. But so I knew that he was already at a pretty high mark going into halftime. And then 500 yards just seems so
– it's amazing.
Astronomical.
That's a lot of yards.
It is.
That is a lot of yards. Now, he had a lot of catch and runs, right? A lot of yak by the Illini receivers, and I think they deserve a lot of credit. Pat Bryant had a big game. Isaiah is just unbelievable what he's doing. And Casey Washington gets his first touchdown, which was awesome for him. Mm-hmm. First touchdown ever at Illinois.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe. I mean, Brett Bielema after the game's like, that just doesn't seem right. But those guys, you know, and that's kind of what I mentioned to Jay, is that those guys just seemed like they were moving at the next level speed-wise. And, you know, Juice made up for his fumble with that stretch, that streak down the left side, and Pat Bryant he'd come back for the ball and then just outrun guys to make, you know, turns on the sideline to get more yards. Reggie Love out of the backfield. There was the one play where he started right and then went back left. I mean, he looked like the fastest dude in college at that point. I was like, man, is he flying. I don't know. They just played with a lot. It
maybe,
just seemed like they played with a lot of speed, which
tells
me. Maybe
line up Indiana every week.
That's correct. That is exactly.
Team that gives up 30-some points a game.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lance. First touchdown receiving touchdown. Or I'm sorry. First receiving touchdown for Washington. He recovered a fumble for a touchdown previously. Okay. I'd forgotten that. Good call. Good call.
But no, I mean, the offense was really, it's become a fun football team to watch.
It has.
That's kind of my thought is like, earlier in the year, they were not good and not fun.
Right.
You can be not good and fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would say that they're, I don't know how good they are still.
That's fair. I think that's
fair. It's all relative, though. It's the Big Ten West.
The West
like,
is not
come
good.
On. I mean, it's,
the West is not good.
So they're an okay to decent football team, and right now they're fun.
Yeah.
That's my kind of take.
Anthony correcting me. Thank you. 621 yards, 6 touchdowns for Dave Wilson.
Kyle, is that fair?
I think that's fair, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Let's go.
I mean, you gave up 45 to Indiana. Is that a good football team? It was a fun game.
But they're fun, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I mean, when you've got your number one team in the West, when you're going into a game against the leading team in the West, and you're wondering how Iowa's going to score, that tells you what the West is. Like, I seriously, I'm like, how does Iowa score? Because every game, what they have, 22 against Rutgers? Did they? Well, they scored again, didn't they? Like 29? Was it 29?
It was 22-0.
22, okay. It's just, like, I watched some of that game, and Jay hit it on the head. It's like a program like that, you'd think would just have a running attack that would constantly be good. But like there were like 3 straight plays that Iowa ran the football and they just lost yards. And it looked like the running back, it almost looked like the offensive lineman missed an assignment and the running back got hit. And then the next play, the running back just runs right into the back of an offensive line. I'm like, how inept are they? And
it's
yet
crazy.
They're 8-2.
Yeah. If you took all the, you know, previous context away, if you took away the how much revenue generation there is, if you just said, let's look at in a pivotal year to decide what the conference realignment is going to look like, we're going to analyze this football season. The Pac-12 would be the elite.
Yes.
Would they not? At least right there with the SEC, the Pac-12 is so much better than the Big Ten this year. It's not even close. Like, not even in terms of depth.
Yeah.
To have Oregon and Washington. I know USC has looked like a little more dicey here of late. Like Washington State's a good team. Oregon State's a good team. Arizona's been ranked.
Arizona State just beat UCLA somehow.
Yeah.
But you're right. Arizona's been ranked.
Do it try to do it in the Big Ten. You got, all right, Michigan and Ohio State and then Penn State. But how good's Penn State? They're good. I mean, they're good. They're not great. And then we're like, all right, well, Maryland should have it. Then Maryland, yeah.
The Big Ten,
Wisconsin, Iowa,
It's just Michigan and Ohio State are the two that can compete with the rest of the country. It's just that's how it is.
It is.
I don't know when it changed that those two became so dominant. I mean, there was a time when John Makovic was beating Ohio State 5 straight times, or he never lost to him. And
really,
while Michigan has always dominated Illinois, I mean, they've always dominated the series. But it's like, it seemed like there was always a proximity between Michigan, Ohio State, and 2 or 3 other teams that year that were good in the Big Ten. Now, I mean, I know Penn State only lost like, 24-15, and you eloquently tweeted out about the coach crying, and it's all about the Lord, and then he F-bombs the world. And I'm like, whoa, okay, all right, well, I guess that's interesting, and this is for you, Jim. Oh, my God.
You got to give Michigan a lot of credit. They've overcome all this adversity.
Oh, it's just, I mean,
it's just, you got to feel for them.
Blake Corum came back. How nice was that?
Ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, you put it perfectly on that.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I don't know. Bill says other teams could compete. They chose not to. It's a non-aggression pact in the West. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's all recruiting.
Yeah, you got to be able to recruit.
Michigan and Ohio State recruited at elite level. and Penn State's running close.
Laps around everybody else.
Penn State is the next closest.
Right.
So that's why they're always kind of the next best team. And then it's the rest of us.
Yep.
And I just, it seemed like, I could be wrong, seemed like it was never like that all the time. And then all of a sudden, within like a 3-year span, if that happened 10 years ago, 15, 20, it was those two, and nobody even gets close to them. I mean, it's a miracle when Purdue beat Ohio State that one year.
Yep.
It's a miracle. Rondale Moore went crazy, and that's what I remember from that year. It's such an outlier if Michigan or Ohio State lose, except they're against each other.
Sure. You did have the Brady Hoke era, the Rich Rod era.
Well, that is true. That's
a little bit in terms of breaking up the...
I would say Ohio State has always been that elite, right? Yeah. I mean, Jim Tressel had a little bit of issues.
Yeah. A lot of really good years, though.
He did. Maurice Claret and those guys.
Outside, like Michigan State's had a stretch under D'Antonio where they did not that far away. Wisconsin under Bielema, Barry Alvarez.
Just seems like, but there's only two teams that have ever been able to compete on a national schedule on a national level since the playoffs rolled around.
Yep,
and it's Ohio State and Michigan.
Yep. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. I know we had somebody text in. They want to hear some basketball.
Let's go.
Tomorrow, the number 4 ranked Marquette Golden Eagles coming to town. We can chat a little bit about that.
Okay.
We play a little bit of Brett Bielema before.
Did they lose? Did Marquette lose? No.
This year?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, that's what I thought.
They have only played, but they've played Northern Illinois and Rider. And Illinois has played Eastern Illinois and Oakland.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about Illinois and Oakland either. So
that's the funny
thing. Let's catch up on a line of basketball when we return. This is The Drive.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Here's what somebody recently said at Pards in Urbana. I was there just a few minutes, and somebody came up and asked if I needed help. And they were incredible, helped me find the size of boot I needed. And then I bought a second pair, too. Everything was friendly. Everything was excellent. Visit Pards in Urbana, 206 North Maple, between Main and University in Urbana. It's Pards Western Shop since 1968. Or go online and visit Pards.com. Pards.com.
You moved into your new home using 2 men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued. It happens. You got junk. Call 2 men and a truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, 2 men and a truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at 2menchampagne.com. 2 men and a
truck. You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Starting it over is what we do at Max Twin City Recycling.
Since Busey Bank first opened our doors in 18... 18-
These days, it seems like bank names are changing faster than a forecast in February.
Are you tired of getting the short end of the stick?
Accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth, since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Habitat for Humanity of Champaign County has been bringing people together to build homes, communities, and hope since 1991. To date, Habitat of Champaign has built 118 homes, but the need for safe, decent, and affordable housing is greater than ever. When you donate your time or money to Habitat or make a purchase from the Habitat Restore, you are empowering local families and helping them achieve the strength, stability, and self-reliance they need to build a bright future for themselves. For more information about Habitat for Humanity of Champaign, please visit CUHabitat.org.
From computer systems to brakes and tires too, at PDR, fixing cars is what they do. Remember, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 or use their dedicated text-only line at 383-0619. Additional information, including repair quotes and online scheduling requests, available from the website at pdrauto.com. Remember, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. When you make the right decision, it feels good, like picking the perfect accent rug or choosing a good night's sleep over an all-night crime show binge. It feels really good to make the right insurance decision, too. That's why State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is right here in Champaign-Urbana to help you select the right protection at the right price. Kurt will make sure you understand your State Farm coverages so you'll know what to expect if the unexpected happens. Just call him when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You moved into your new home using 2 men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then,
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued. It happens. You got junk. Call 2 men and a truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, 2 men and a truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at 2menchampagne.com. 2 men and a
truck. I'm Justin Eich, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first, you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Eich, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com.
Fighting Illini football is back at Memorial Stadium for the final home game of the season on Saturday, November 25th, as they take on Northwestern in the battle for the Land of Lincoln Trophy. Bring the whole family to enjoy our family fun zone in Grange Grove with bounce houses, food trucks, balloon artists, and tailgating. See you at Memorial Stadium for Fighting Illini football's final home game against Northwestern on Saturday, November 25th. Get $15 tickets at fightingillini.com.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5, where we're eating warheads during the break.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, we, it's not me, as Kyle takes his head out of the trash can.
I threw one in. It's extreme sour black cherry. Mm. You know me and candy. I spit that thing out. I'm like, that's the most sour thing I've ever had. So
I'm
made Kyle do it.
I'm still feeling it. I kept it in for too long.
Holy cow, those are sour.
Oh. I have yet to do mine. I did eat one last week.
You did?
I used to.
Are they better if you bite into it?
I don't know.
No?
I used to mess around with some Warheads back in the day.
Oh, so you can handle that.
I guess.
Warhead, I think, was a candy that was a little bit, like I was a little old to start to get used to it, so I just never Tell me about Oso Iguodaro.
Oso Iguodaro. He's a good player. He's 6'10".
Wow.
6'11". Good athlete. Has some similar strengths to Coleman. Now, he's a little bit bigger. He's probably 10 pounds heavier as that goes. But a skilled big man, thought to be one of the better passing big men out there in the country. NBA draft pick potential. I think he's right now kind of in that early second round also in terms of his projection. So he's a guy that blocks shots. He's someone they'll use him outside of the paint as a passer. Doesn't really shoot it. That's probably one differentiator between him and Coleman, but I like his game. He's really, in terms of similarities, I like throw it into him mid-post, space him around with shooters, and he'll make some good decisions as a passer. So
nice.
I like his game.
So that's who Illinois has got to face tomorrow. But you like maybe that matchup. Would Coleman maybe – it's hard to say.
I think that they match up well against each other because they have similar strengths.
Okay.
I think that the way I look at it from Marquette guarding Coleman is that, well, all right, so you go back to the Kansas exhibition game, and Coleman is burning Kansas in the pick and pop because Hunter's not going to get out there and contest. I wouldn't see that as an option for Coleman to really hurt Marquette a ton because Iguodaro can go out and guard on the perimeter. He can move his feet off the bounce. But similarly, it's probably a situation where Coleman is able to move the same type of way around defensively as well. Okay. So I do think Iguodaro is more athletic. I do think he's stronger.
0 3-point attempts for Iguodaro. So obviously
he's not going to shoot.
Okay, so he's not going to go out. Okay, yeah. So and that would be one difference, difference between. And then there's Tyler
Kolick. Yeah, I mean he's the reigning Big Ten or Big East Player of the Year. A guy that rolled his ankle in the last game on Friday, so he limped off in that sense. I haven't seen a recent update. Smart has said about how he's progressing and whatnot, but. He did leave that game against Ryder early and went straight to the locker room. So I went back and watched it. I was watching their game, the replay of it last night. And sometimes those rolled ankles, turned ankles can look really ugly. Like, you know, they're like parallel to the ground type of thing. The ankle touching the floor. Maybe you'd say, all right, that one, maybe they're not good in a few days. It didn't look as bad as maybe it could have been. I expect him to go. And as far as his game goes, like, he was third in the country in assists last year. 7.5 a game, really crafty, shoots it well, shot 40% from three to go with it. Listening to the broadcast, I also went back and watched their Big East tournament game against UConn, and he had a tremendous showing in that one. And it was Jim Jackson on the call along with Gus Johnson. Gus Johnson saying, hey, he's got some Steve Nash to his game.
Ooh.
And I do like that. I mean, he's got the ability to score it. Really good vision, the floppy hair with it a little
right,
bit, too.
Right.
And Jim Jackson added that there's some Scott Skiles as well. So he's a high-level passer, can shoot it. And that's the thing with Marquette in general is that you go beyond those two. Those are your two highlight players. Cam Jones is a lefty, 6'5", good shooter, scored it. He was the leading scorer last year, and then this year he's off to a really hot start as a scorer. David Joplin, sixth man of the year in the Big East, now starting. They lost one of their top players last year, and Maxence Prosper going to the NBA as a late first-round draft pick. So Joplin coming in, good size, about 6'7" or so, really good shooter. So I like this Marquette team a lot. Having watched their recent stuff, admittedly became a little bit even more scared in terms of the matchup for Illinois because of the way that they can shoot it, how much firepower I think they have offensively. And defensively, it's you think Shaka Smart, it's not the VCU full-on havoc defense. Like, they're not going to wear you out. Maybe with your full-court press, they are going to press you. They're not maybe going to try to sell out 100% for turnovers, but – they can disrupt you, and I think that's something with Illinois as you're still figuring out ball handling stuff, point guard stuff, that I'm going to be interested to see tomorrow night.
Kyle, what do you remember about Marquette from last year and coming into this year? I mean, Pipes, did they lose a lot, or was it just the
– They lost one of their top 9 minutes,
that's
guys.
It. Okay.
One.
Did they remind you a little bit of that Baylor team a couple years ago? I mean, not as intense defensively, I would assume.
No, probably not as intense defensively. They do have really good guard play. Okay. That's definitely something I would look at and say that's similar. Ability to shoot the three, because that Baylor team was tops in the country in three-point percentage. And this year, Marquette's off to a scorching start, 40% as a team from three. So they can definitely bomb it from the outside. I could see some of the parallels there. That Baylor squad probably just had a little bit more of the grit to them as far as defensively goes. I think for Illinois, you're going to have to hurt them. There's a few areas where they're not as great. And I think you get in the lane and they're in terms of giving up some shots around the basket.
Good.
That's something that they've not exceeded at in terms of their defense last year. Look at their numbers in the Big East, like shots around the rim or something that they didn't contest all that great. I do think Iguodaro can contest shots, but they do have some smaller guards like Kolick, Cam Jones, even Stevie Mitchell, guys that they kind of play a smaller backcourt versus where Illinois is obviously going to have a lot of size. What's their answer for Terrence Shannon Jr. and trying to keep him out of the lane? I think that's going to be interesting. And then defensive rebounding. So your ability to go to the offensive glass, I think this is a huge key for Illinois tomorrow, is can you hurt them on the offensive boards to get second chance points? Because here's kind of the way this thing can tilt. Either you annihilate them on the offensive glass, which they gave up, I think to NIU, they gave up like 15, 16 wow. offensive rebounds. Ryder had like 14. So you can get a lot of second chance opportunities on them. Illinois hasn't, to this point, it's only been two games, hasn't offensive rebounded as well as some of Brad's previous teams. But we'll see if they can do that. That will give you some chances to get extra points. And then when you make baskets, you make them inbound it, you slow down their transition attack.
Okay.
If you don't offensive rebound, they're going to run like heck on
they
you.
They go, right?
And they already have in two games 50 fast break points.
Okay.
They can really run. So I think for Illinois, if you can offensive rebound, I think you can beat them up on the glass, slow the game down a little bit. I think that could really help Illinois. If you don't offensive rebound, then I think that that's going to let Marquette run, and it's going to make it harder for Illinois to have an efficient offense.
Oakland game. I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to listen to most of it. I mean,
it was ugly.
You kind of pulled away late.
Yeah, it was ugly.
In that one, what did you see in that? Obviously coming off Eastern, where you weren't fully impressed with the squad there as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. So what did you see in that Oakland game? And, you know, the worry is going to be that offense and how it clicks. And was that more of Oakland holding you to 64, or was that just Illinois didn't make shots? What was your thought on that Oakland game?
I mean, I give Oakland some credit. Their 1-3-1 was something that you don't see a whole lot of.
You don't see that, do you?
So it definitely took Illinois out of rhythm. You're not running your normal offense. We talked about that going into that game. Just kind of, you know, people were asking us late in the week, you know, what's kind of Illinois' offensive game plan? And I think that they would want to play through the high post to Coleman. They want to, you know, get Terrence downhill and everything. And when you're playing against a 1-3-1, you're naturally more kind of spaced out and stagnant around the perimeter.
No doubt.
And you're trying to figure out how to attack that. I didn't think Illinois did a good job of attacking gaps as well as they could have and getting downhill. Terrence forced some things. Illinois didn't shoot the three very well. I mean, they were 4-for-16 from three, 8-for-16 from the free throw line. So if you're not great at doing math on the fly, which I'm not going to blame anybody if they're not, 25% from three, wow. 50% from the free throw line, that's pretty poor.
Yeah.
They did close well. Their defense buckled down. There was 8 straight stops at one point for Illinois defensively. Quincy Guerrier saved it. I think that he was I know Terrence did a really, really good job on their shooter, Jack Golke, who put up 18 threes against Ohio State and made 6 of them and was the leading scorer in that game. He only got off 6 threes against Illinois because wow. Terrence was just in his shirt the entire game, chasing him through screens, chasing him around the perimeter. But Trey Townsend, 6'6", 6'7" forward for Oakland, was hurting Illinois, and he's the game-high scorer with 19. He had all 19 of those for the first 30 minutes of the game. Didn't score the last 10 because Quincy goes in there. His physicality did a really good job of making things tough on him. So Illinois buckled down defensively. They did enough offensively to go on a run. All in all, wasn't super inspiring. You can of course look around the league and say, hey, at least they weren't Maryland, who's now lost 2
exactly.
in a row to Davidson and UAB
right.
and Indiana was going down to the wire with Army, and obviously Michigan State's lost to Jay Madison. But I think in the context of how Illinois played their last two games leading into Marquette, it's not hasn't been super inspiring, but
that's fair.
There is the Kansas game to kind of say, all right, well, if Illinois hits their high water mark or they're close, we know they can beat a lot of good teams. So we know it's in them at least.
I know we have Brad Underwood that we can play here. Is this the game where things start to kind of get settled in terms of minutes and such, or do you feel like this team will always be a work in progress? Not in a bad way. Like you just said there, like you could bring in Quincy late in that game and he bothered Oakland on the other side. I feel like you have so many different weapons, if you will, in terms of creating mismatches, et cetera, both offensively and defensively with strength, experience. So do you think like this game against Marquette will see more of a better idea of how it's going to work out and play out? Or do you think it honestly could just continue to be kind of a game by game?
I think there is some game-by-game dynamic to it. You're going to feel it out as far as, you know, like Luke Goody mixing in there with Quincy. Like, what lineup works the best as far as that goes? Now that Sincere's out of the mix,
yeah,
I think there may be some less choices as far as maybe the backcourt. But then again, like Justin Harmon played 6 minutes against Oakland. So Illinois went with a bigger lineup. I think you're going to scale that down because of how athletic and how fast Marquette wants to play. So maybe it is more of a perimeter-oriented game where Justin Harmon gets some more minutes. We'll see how Draven Gibbs-Lawhorn plays in the opportunities that he gets. And that's kind of one of those, if Draven's getting in a groove and providing a really great spark and is helping you in a good way, then you maybe keep him out there. If he's a little wide-eyed and making some mistakes, he was a little trigger-happy, I think, against Oakland and forced some things. Maybe then you scale that down. So there are some decisions to make for Brad within a game. I just think it's going to be pretty reminiscent of Kansas, in my opinion.
Okay.
Like really loading up big minutes for your top rotation guys, and then some of those others probably won't get as many opportunities. But we'll certainly see how that goes. But on a note of like a guy like Dre, is
Marquette. He's played well.
He's played pretty well, and Marquette's pretty athletic.
Right,
and
I think
you're going to need – I think that's one thing with some of these guys. I don't think you can play super big with Marquette, and you probably want to make sure you got some athletic lineups out there in terms of being able to slow them down.
Fair enough. I'd like to hear what Brad has to say about the squad.
Enough for me already.
No, those are great breakdowns.
You got all of we got all of tomorrow to talk about this as well, and I'll be diving in even more.
I can't
as we
wait
go
for
to,
that game.
My preview for tonight. So no, it's going to be a huge game. Excited to watch some of the Gavitt games tip off tonight. You got St. John's and Michigan.
Let's go.
Purdue and Xavier. Quick note as far as Michigan goes, by the way, 217 said, didn't Marquette lose a secret scrimmage before the season started? Yeah, they lost to Michigan.
Yeah.
Was reported as like 110 to 103. Yeah, I don't know if they played five quarters or whatever the heck it was, but Michigan topped them at least far as what was reported. Michigan has looked better than people would have expected going into this season, but I digress. Let's hear from Brad Underwood, who spoke to the media today, as far as how he sees this game, a huge clash at State Farm Center between two ranked teams tomorrow. Here is Brad Underwood.
Obviously, Gabba games are here puts us against one of the elite programs in the country. It's interesting the Big East had a great year last year. Obviously, UConn won the national championship, and yet the team we're playing tomorrow night beat them twice. This is a very, very good basketball team. They return 86 or 87% of their production. I think they have the outstanding point guard in the country, or one of them anyway. He's right there at the top. And then they've got a center in Oso, who I think is obviously a next level guy. And both of them are old guys, and they've been around, they've seen a lot. And obviously Kolick was the league MVP last year, and deservedly so. He's both of those young men are excellent, excellent passers. They're very high IQ. And then you put Cam Jones, who I think is the most underrated guard in America, next and with them. He's an elite shooter, 6'5". He's got great range. Nobody talks about him because of the other two, and that's not fair. He's a terrific, terrific player. So, they play extremely hard. They're efficient on offense. They play very, very fast. It's a game we're going to have our track shoes on. They're elite in transition. They take a ton of early threes. They make a lot of them. If you give them easy baskets in transition, it can be a long night. They can score 100 very easily the way they get going sometimes. So transition D's got to be an important piece. We've got to run great offense, and then we've got to continue to guard. I was really pleased after the Oakland game, very pleased with what we did defensively. We can't rest on that. I think we had 11 straight possessions without them scoring, especially from the 8-minute mark on. Very good. It was a very low possession game. I think we had 61 or 62 possessions. A lot of credit goes to Oakland in that area, but it was also a game that I thought we got the shots we wanted. We had a tough night shooting it. We won't do that most nights. And we were 1.3 OER in the second half, and finally shook loose there and made some threes. So great challenge tomorrow night. Excited. November, have a top five opponent in our house, and it'll be a great great opportunity for our program.
Brad, with this being the end of Gavin games, do you expect these types of non-conference matchups in the future just to be on the schools themselves to get them together?
Yeah, I think that they've been great for basketball. This series has been great for both leagues. I think it's been an interesting time that we'll have to wait and see what conference scheduling looks like in the future. You could see an expansion of more conference games. I don't know yet. But I think it's been very beneficial for us just in my time here. And I always go back to the year Nebraska, I think, was a double bye and didn't get into the tournament. We jumped to 20 games. We're playing these two games, with the Gavitt and what was the ACC. So we had really quality non-league opponents, and now we go to 20 games and we're getting 7, 8, 9, 10 teams in. So playing opponents like this is extremely beneficial. We're gonna continue to do that. We always like to play.